All right, here we go. Let's go. Here we go. Everybody ready? Okay. Let's. What can I do if I have very sweaty meal on Shabbos? Cold shower, etc. Right. So it's like this: the halacha of showering on Shabbos is a little bit difficult in the Paiskim to find the makom, meaning like this. To take a hot shower, that he's obviously realizes over here that you can't take a hot shower on Shabbos, because the way our systems work is that inside the tank, this is all the systems everywhere, that inside the tank, there's a tank of hot water that's either heated up by this, by the sun, by the electricity, whatever it is, but there's a tank. Every time you release water, if you take out the hot water, so now the tank fills up with cold water, because it has a reserve of tremendous amount of hot water, and that cold water gets cooked by the hot water. That's the system everywhere in the world. Now, the only question is the variations, but that chelik of the system exists everywhere. Which means that in halacha, to turn on hot water on Shabbos is a psik reisha of cooking the hot water, because it's psik reisha that when you're going to open this with a force, the other water comes in. That's called your direct maisa in halacha. And therefore, that would be usher to turn on the hot water. So hot water, not discussing, number one. Number two, to take a hot shower on Shabbos, even if the water was cooked before Shabbos, that the Gemara says in Shabbos Daf Lamed Tes, that there's a gzeilu to Rabbanon, that you can't heat, you can't shower in hot water, because of gzeira, you're going to come to shepherd with the water, you're going to come to monkey with the water, you're going to come to with the coals, right? So that's not negeya. So hot shower is not negeya. But he says, he's sitting by a meal. All right, I'm just going to retire. Maybe something like this was what happened. You're sitting by a meal, right, in a little small deer, and there's no air conditioning, because they believe that, you know, if the Zayda doesn't ishkahat, then we shouldn't have it either, right? And so, but they have a fan, right? But the fan is only big enough for dad, right? And it's facing, sounds right, Zevi? And it's facing him, and then you're sitting at that meal. Now, if you know anything about the Metzius of the fan, so what happens is that if it's all there, and it's all, so all the schwitz remains on that side, right? You understand what I'm saying, Rabbi Sperling, right? So therefore, are you allowed now to come back and take a cold shower? Okay, now, it's easier to talk about these halachas in the winter time that we're in now, because it's not actually, it tastes quite hot, but it's not as, you know, I guess, okay, and I'm hoping that by the time the summer comes, you'll forget what I say. Right? But technically, the halacha is that we have a minig that you're not allowed to take a cold shower either. Now, there's a very interesting Rav Moshe where this minig comes from. In the Gemara, it doesn't say you're not allowed to take a cold shower. They didn't have showers in the Haim, Rabbi Yisai. Right? They didn't have showers in the Haim. Right? Well, what do you do? So, they didn't have showers in the Haim. They didn't have. Right? So, what they have, they had rivers. They had Naira. I remember this, you fancy people with showers in the home. You know what it was? You used to go to the riverside. It was all matzav, right? You laugh. It was in the high. So they used to have such a mamad of, like, they would go to. So the Gemara says nothing. It's clear in the Gemara you were allowed to shower. Excuse me. You were allowed to go into cold water on Shabbos. Right? Over the Doris, the Maril brings down, the Mishabura brings this in Simchin Chavav, that they became a Minig Ashkenazim. This is, I don't know to what extent the Svardim hold like this, but the Minig Ashkenazim clearly became that we don't take any, it doesn't say shower. Again, we're going to get the shower in 50 years. We didn't have showers yet. But we don't go into any cold water on Shabbos. That minig is based upon the fact that most of the cold body waters were outside, so there would be a problem of carrying Dalet Amos, the water on your back. And the minig is based on the fact that people are going to come, they're going to come and start rubbing at the water, and it's going to come and extract the water out of their hair. It's based on a lot of these types of things. It's based on, and they might come to use different things and creams and whatever, maybe soaps, etc. So, but that's the minig. That is the minig, right? Of the Ashkenazim is that you don't go into a cold body of water on Shabbos. Right? Akele Kach, the Mishabura deals with in Shin Chavav, so how do you go to a mikvah on Shabbos? Right? And Mishabura is not so happy with it. That's, you know, present company excluded, of course. Right? But that's the one. That's the whole need in back and forth and whatever. I don't know out of sight. Tarm Armagel? Sorry? By mikvah. By mikvah. But just remember what he just said. He just said that Sfardim are not make by shower, and they go into that mikvah. Okay, but I'll kapun him. So you said it, I didn't say it. But fine. So now the question is, you see the Gvaldik Tmimis of Rav Moshe, the Gainis of Rav Moshe. He had a lot of faith in American Jewry. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva. They asked him, are you allowed to take a cold shower on Shabbos? And so far you realize there's nothing really bad and wrong with taking a cold shower on Shabbos, right? If you'll be careful and you'll not use soap, you know, hard soap, using liquid soap. Moshe got it was machmer on liquid soap. because Moshe had the sheet that liquid soap, it bubbles, and that's called nailed. Most of the pais can argue on that. Most pais can hold that if you're using liquid soap, so then it doesn't smear, it doesn't cream. Come again? Ramosha holds soap has nothing to do with mamreya. Ramosha has a problem that bubbles are being created and noilet is being created. But so, let's say, for example, that let's say you don't hold like that. Most places can hold that liquid soap is okay. And you're going to be very careful with your beard. Right? You're not going to be like, you know, getting out all the schnitzel and everything, all the herring. Right? And you know, you're not going to take, you're not going to be scrubbing. You're not going to be, you know, you're just getting the water on it. So technically, and then when you get out of the shower, you take the towel and you're not sitting there and, you know, like, you're just putting the towel on and you're getting, you're padding, you're getting the outside water. Right? You're doing, you're getting on your body, as you know, and you're not doing schita of getting, you know, you're not taking the beard and going like, okay. Yes. Okay. I think one of the kids just came out. Okay. But that's, okay. But anyways, so then technically you realize that there shouldn't be anything wrong with shower, technically, right? And it's also not included in the minig because they didn't have a shower, so you can't say we have a minig Yisrael on not going into a body of cold water when this was not a type of thing that they had 500 years ago, 600 years ago, and the Maril was saying this is the minig. So Rav Moshe, now you understand where Rav Moshe's tshuva starts. So they asked Rav Moshe like this. They asked him, are we allowed to take a cold shower on Shabbos? Right? So Rav Moshe writes back, it depends how you learn the minig. So he says, look, in America, what I see is that they don't take cold showers on Shabbos. That's what he said. So he says, what's the pshat in that minig? So he's a guy in Rav Moshe. He says, what's the pshat in the minig America? He's dining now in the 70s. Now he sees for the last 20, 30 years, people in America don't take cold showers on Shabbos. So he says, what's the pshat in the minig? He says, is it the pshat that they think that this is the minig? You're not allowed to take cold showers. So he says, that's a minig tayas. Because there was no such minig. There never was a shower. Right? So if they think that this is included in the Maril's minig, the Maril said, and I call it the Maril, but the Ramah, the Mishabur, the Paiskim, right? If this is included in the Maril's minig of not going into a body of cold water, so he says it's Svara. It doesn't have all the reasons. One of the reasons we said is because if you're going to go into a body of water outside, you're going to come to carry. So we don't have that inside our house. We're going to come to carry. It's not again. So such a Maisha, that if that's what they're doing, then it's called the minig tayas, and we don't have to follow the minig. And if they think that, yeah, well, my Zay didn't have a cold water shower on Shabbos, so I don't have a cold water on Shabbos, it's not Negeya. Zay didn't have it because he didn't have a shower. If he would have had a shower, he would have had it. Or says Rav Moshe, no, maybe the pshat is that no, they know. He had a lot of faith in American Jewry, Rav Moshe. He says, no, they know. They know that the pshat is that Avada, they knew all the lumdis, they knew that the shower on Shabbos is taken out included in the Maril, but they made a safeguard that even this we're not going to do. No, it's not that they're saying this is the Maril's minig, but they're saying that since nowadays the whole Maril Metzias doesn't apply, so then our Metzias, our reality of a cold water system is a shower. So we are going to, as our own minig, extend it and make, we'll call it a new minig, the minig America. So Ramosha says, oh, if it's a new minig, the minig America. And obviously when you hear America, it means every place in the world. But Ramosha was writing a copy of Metzias in America. But that's the reality everywhere. So Ramosha says, if it's a new minig, so then it's binding. If an entire, you know, if all the Jews get together now and they say, okay, we don't take cold showers on Shabbos. That's it, right? So then, if they're doing it, and it's a safeguard, they're doing it for a reason. The reason they don't take, you imagine, there's a lot of malachas that could possibly go into showering. You might turn on the hot water, you might this. So there's a seichel to it. So then that would bind all of da da da. So Ramosha says, he's not sure. So what would you have said? I would have said, okay, suffik minig, lekula, right? It's a minig, what's up, suffik of a minig. So Ramosha says, no. So therefore, you have to be machmir. That's what Ramosha writes. He says, however, if you're in a makim tsar, since it's not clear, it's a suffix, it's a minig, it's this, it's not so clear exactly what the minig is. So makim tsar, you can be makel to take a cold shower or in all the directions that we explained. Not using hard soap, not taking the towel and going like this, right? Ramosha Grata says not using liquid soap, that's the shitasai. That's Ramosha. So now, the question over here that he's asking me is what's a makim tsar? Right? What's a makim tsar? So, you know, you realize that you all go a full day without taking a shower. Right? Some of you go like 3 weeks. Years. Okay. I said, you all know that, you know, you all go a full day without a shower. Right? I'll give you an example. On Simchas Torah, right, where you dance mamish and you dance the day before and then after a dance and Shtaymachay, and then you find out the mirror, they're still going. Right? So then Avada, you know, in that case, a person comes back. He danced there. So then you understand that that's the Malkum Tsar. It's our for us. It's our for everybody. Our cat's dying in the street. That's about a situation of where that would be called a Tsar. You don't need me to Mechadish that to you. The question is that, you know, what happens? He comes back after such a meal. So he's right. On a regular night, right, on a Tuesday night, he would shower. On a regular Tuesday night, if he came back after such a meal, he would shower because he's schwitzing and whatever. Right? However, just, you know, I would say like this. You know, the moded, the measuring stick of tsar is, in this case over here, we have a little bit of a measuring stick within. What I mean, what, normally I would give a measuring stick. I'd say, if you had to pay $100 for the shower, would you pay it? Right? So if the guy says, you know, I'm desperate, I pay $100 for the shower, you know, then that shows us that, you know. But here, I don't know, it's maybe a little bit unfair to give him a measuring stick, because within the situation, we have a bit of a measuring stick, because he's going to be having to take a cold shower. So if he's willing to take a cold shower, that shows that he's in a bad enough tsar.
Wait,
a minute. In the summer, yeah.
No, also, no, get it normal during the week. I can at least wash my face.
Right.
At least while you're not going to use real soap. You're not going to this.
Yeah.
So you are more bemucking tsar than a normal week.
No, but they're going to get my cool of soap. These are the bad guys. They're only going to take the moisture on that. They're going to use soap, these guys.
I mean, it's a different matzah during the week.
I mean, he's not going in with the rubber ducky and the whole matzah. Right? No, it's true. Right? I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that in public. I'm sorry. But so he's right. So that's what I'm saying. So you have a little bit of a. That's why I said this year a different place. And I didn't say $1,000. I said 100 shekel. I think by Israelis say 100 shekel. By Americans say $100. Right? But it depends what yeshiva also. But I said if you're willing to pay $100. But then I thought after it, I don't know if I was being so fair, right? Because you have here within it, you know, I'll give you an example. Somebody, I told you the story, I think, you know, I had a family last year when the time when the missiles were being dropped. So there was a family from Givat Zev that asked me a shaila. So it's a gewaltig hashkafetik attitude. How do you look at something, right? They asked me that they live in a building, Givat Zev at the time, even now, I think, isn't so built up. Right? It's like, you know, neighbors with Arabs and other dreadful creatures and whatever, right? So you have this massive of where the missiles are dropping, the sirens going and whatever. You know, etzim halachadik, it's not really a sakana. In halachadik, because you all know the Hashem shomer us, right? But the sveikis of whatever, of a bomb dropping and them actually hitting in an area where there are people and whatever, and you have enough time to get to the bomb shelter. It's a Baruch Hashem and David shall be helping us weiter. But it's not something that in halacha is mugdar as a sakana, but it's a very scary situation, right? Okay, why is that important? So there was a family over there, there was a building in Givat Zev, and there were only three people in the building, right? There were two young couples, and there was an older couple. An older couple that never had children. They were, I think, in the 80s. They're an older couple. And there were two couples in the building. Now, those two couples in the building, right, for Shabbos, they're going away. And especially in this type of a matziv, you know, it's like a little bit not geschmack to be in that type of a... So they were going to their families in, you know, safer places like Ashdod and Ashkelon and Nazareth. So, you know, they were going to those places for Shabbos and whatever, whatever. So the older people in the building came to the couple, and they said to them that like they have mamish a tremendous pachad that they should be there by themselves for Shabbos. Could they please stay for Shabbos? So they came to ask me like, what are they, to what extent are they mechuyev to be staying here? What are they? And the way they asked the question is are they mechuyev to put themselves into a suffix sakana? Because, you know, we'll agree it's like somewhat of a suffix sakana. It's not a real sakana, right? But it's a suffix sakana. But are they mechuyev to put themselves into a suffix sakana to save these older people from a vadai sakana? Why do I say it's a vadai sakana? Because when you have 80-year-old people and a siren going, that's a very scary situation, and that's a very, very, that's at least much more of a sakana situation. Anything can happen. People can make tremendous mistakes when there's types of matzavim of sakana, and you can use your imagination, whatever. So therefore, that was their shaila they asked me. Because, you know, okay, it's a difficult shaila because you have to weigh, is it really a suffix sakana what they're doing to stay behind, and is it really that they're putting them into a valid sakana? But let's say the shaila would be in the way I just set it up. Let's say it's hard to factor it out exactly perfect. But so there's really a Mishnah Berurah about this. And it's a Mishnah Chav Tess, since you've gotten your test. Mishnah Berurah says over there that are you mechuyev to put yourself into a suffix sakana? You like somewhat know how to swim. You basically know how to swim. You know, no, I'll say it better. You know how to swim, but you're going to a place where it's dangerous, right? And most probably you'll be okay, but that guy's in a vade sakana. He doesn't know how to swim. Are you mechuyev to go and save him? So Mishnah Berurah, it's based on a sman in at the end of Chesh Mishnah in Tav Chavav, which is based on a Yerushalmi that over there is brought, and the basic psak of the paiskim is that you're not mechuyev, but you're allowed to. That's what Mishnah Berurah says in Shin Chafetz. He says you're not mechuyev, you're allowed to. If you have no sakana, you're mechuyev. You're mechuyev to save your fellow Yidra. But if you're in a suffix sakana, you're not mechuyev to put yourself into a suffix sakana. You're allowed to. Okay? Now, the question is, Mishnah Berurah writes in Meridik Aloshin there. He says, pass me the Mishnah Berurah a second. I want you to read your Aloshin. Okay, we'll get him up. Mishnah Berurah says that, you know, be very, very, you know, careful before you weigh, be very, very careful before you weigh this decision and say, what did I tell you? Shin Chav Tess. Yud Tess. Yud Tess. So he says, when we call Makam, we make Sakona Lamatzel. Ain't no Mechuyev. Tichayev Koydim Chaveru. Vafilu Safik Sakona, Nami no Adif Sveikoy Didei Mi Vadai Chaveru. You're not Mechuyev to put yourself into a Safik Sakona. For his vadei tzikana. But listen to the words of the Mishnah Berurah here. He says, "Ulam sarech lishkol advarim heitiv." Says you got to weigh it very carefully. You know, you're sitting there on the side of the ocean, Darton, right? And you see over there, right? So you're saying that, yeah, it's a suffix. Right? It's a suffix. It's a puddle of ashayot under you. It's a suffix. It's a suffix, right? So he says, "Lishkol advarim heitiv im yesh by suffix tzikana." Bring me Mishnah Berurah chelik base for a minute. That kind of keeps you busy, Mishnah. He says, in Yehud Safik Sakana, the loy ledaktik be yoiser. So don't be such a makbid, you know, it's a Safik Sakana, it's a Safik Sakana, right? Don't be makbid yoiser. A medak is if it's a medaktik bekar, bali dekach, right? So I want to answer Rabbi Yashu. Now, a similar type of shiloh. So here, that would be the question. To try to figure out, is it really a Safik Sakana for you guys, right? So I asked Rabbi Yashu in a similar type of case, how do you, like, make such a cheshbin? How do you make such a cheshbin? I'll get back to what I'm talking about in a moment, with measuring sticks, right? So he opened the Mishnah Berurah in Chelik Beis, and Simen Kufnen and Vav. It's a gewaldige Gezach. It's a gewaldige Gezach. It's not just a loch, it's a gewaldige attitude. He says like this. He says, he's talking about a person that works, right? Mishnah Berurah had high asagas for us. Mishnah Berurah says, he says, Yase rak de parnasasa, you should only work for what you need. Okay? You should only work for what you need. So Mishnah Berurah says like this. He says, how are you going to figure out what you need? She's biting batsmai, my achrech amiti. So you have to figure out, what do you really need? And that's how much you should work, and the rest of the day you should learn. Okay, I know, nowadays it doesn't exactly work that, you know, you'll be able to, you know, you'll tell your boss at 12 o'clock. Okay, 12 o'clock, I have exactly what I need. I'm going home. I'll see you tomorrow. I'll do it. I'll go learn. I'll do it. See you later. All right? I'll say, you know, I'll come back tomorrow if you go now. Okay? Say no, but it says Mishnah Berurah. I don't need more. I'm not out of work. What's that? But the Mishnah Berurah bought him. He says, Gvaldik is out. That's a good thing. Me and him share coffee. I think the Elam knows what's going on. The Shartzian says, like, the Gvaldik Shartzian. The Rav Yashiv, you know, the Rav Yashiv, there were no games. Right? I asked him, how do you shokel? How do you measure this? How do you make a measure, right? You went like this, right? Okay, then you have to go to the next question. And you looked up afterward what he meant, right? So the Shartzian over here says a Gvaldik thing. He says, Ukideshala Yerama Yetzer, right? In order, now you have to know one thing about the Mishnah Berurah. And the Mishnah Berurah wrote the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, the Shmir Saloshin. I think I might have mentioned this before. And the Mishnah Berurah wrote the Sefer Shmir Saloshin. A lot of the Oilim felt it was like, you know, they didn't. Yeah, it's a Musar Sefer, right? Yeah, you know, 14 Lavin, 16 Aseis, 3 Arurim. You know, the Mishnah Berurah found everything's Lashonar. You're right, Ron. You know, if you pass Rachal, you're Lashonar. You know, everything. And because of that, it's not a joke. Because of that, the Mishnah Berurah, you know why? The Mishnah Berurah blamed the fact that he put the Svarim together. He put the Halacha Sefer, of Shmir Saloshin, of the Hilchas Lashon Hara, he put it together with the Sefer Shmir Saloshin. And because he felt he put it together, so a lot of people, like the Musar that he gave, so you know, some people, if you tell them Halacha, right? But you tell them Musar, so the Mishnah Berurah had Agmas Nefesh. He had Agmas Nefesh from that. In Kelim, if you were found learning the Sefer Shmir Saloshin, the Halacha, during Musar Seder, they threw you out of the Musar Seder. Now, if you got thrown out of Musar Seder, that was the end. Right? You know, this is Kelim. Right? I remember this still, but you know, if you got thrown out of Musar Sefer, forget it, right? You know, but you know, it's not a Musar Sefer, it's a Halacha Sefer. So when the Chofetz Chaim was writing the Sefer Mishnah Berurah, he told somebody, he told his son-in-law, that because he used to give out different halakim of the Mishnah Berurah for other people to to read. They would give it to people like, you know, some people would be misguided and they say, I'm one of the Chafetz Chaim's readers. Right? You know, the Chafetz Chaim gives it to me to read. Right? To read. Really, the Chafetz Chaim did. He found like the worst chevra, right? To read it and want to see if even they understand it. Right? Because he wanted to make sure that it was readable on all levels. So he found people that didn't understand and people that did understand it. No, that was how he did. So he said that when he would ask people, the readers, he would ask it, do you see it sounds too musardic? Because he didn't want to have that problem in the Mishnah Berurah. That means anytime you find Musar in the Mishnah Berurah, it means that this was like by him, like, and you don't find it. You seldomly find in the Mishnah Berurah something of Musar. Which means that he was writing it with a different Kava Machshava because he wanted to write it very, very, how's it? So listen to the Shartzim with that Hakdama. He writes like this, Ukadeshala Yerah Mahayetzer, it's halacha. And that's why Rav Yashar pointed, it's halacha. How are you going to figure out how much I need? How in the world are you going to figure out what I need exactly, not more, right? I don't know, do I really need to have another piece of bread, right? Do I really need, you know, four socks, right? No, I mean like two and two, right? Yeah, you have three. So today, you use this one will dry, then you'll use that one, right? Do I really need? So Mishnah Berurah says, Meredith Gazafi, Kadesh Shalay Yerama Yetzer, Yisboinen, this is a Gevaldik of that. What should you do? Cheshbin out, right? Imhu Ayam Achuyev Lazunas Chaveiroi. Let's say you accepted on yourself that you're going to support so-and-so, right? It's your responsibility to support so-and-so, or whatever, it's your responsibility, right? And exactly what he needs. How much would you give him? No games. Ah, Mishnah Berurah, no games. La pishay, klefi erkoi, maya oimer, ezadavar hu echreach. What would you say? You really need that? Right? What do you need? But it's a shoe. It's a shoe, just because it has a little finger lock coming out, but it's still a shoe, right? So what, right? Not a shoe? Who asked you to have such big toes? Right? Right. So, no, it's a Gevaldik. So, Rav Yashar was saying that in life, when you have these types of shaylas, you need to have a measuring stick to figure out. So, here, what would be the measuring stick? So I told him, you know, now you give this person a measuring stick. We'll go back within a story, right? I told this person that, look, let's say I would tell you that if you stay for Shabbos, right? I'll give you, you know, if I tell you I'll give you $100,000, so then everybody's going to stay, right? And if I tell you I'll give you $10, then nobody's going to stay. I didn't do anything, right? So let's say I tell you, and you have to know the person you're speaking to on his measuring stick. Let's say I would tell you I'll give you $1,000 to stay for Shabbos, right? So $1,000 for an Israeli is like, you know, so I told them, let's say I give you 1,000 shekel. Right? I'll give you 1,000 shekel, would you stay for Shabbos? So they said, yes. I said, fine, you have to stay. In other words, we're trying to figure out to what extent do you feel that there's a sakana over here. So in a shower, that's the issue here. I have to try and figure out over here at what point you're bitsar enough that, you know, you're taka bitsar, that because you're the ones making the decision. So you have to do this to yourself. You have to go and make in yourself a measuring stick. So again, you have a little leeway in the measuring stick because it's a cold shower, right? And there's no ducky, and right? So there's a little bit, but, you know, it's not so true. You have to, you know, if right now, I would say it like this to the oilam. If right now I needed to go down the you know, and to get this shower, right, I would have to go to my friend's dira by Mir Yeshiva or whatever, right? And I'd have to go all the way there, and I'd have to walk through the street with my towel and the ducky and dust, right? So then would I do it? Would it be worth it to me? Or am I just doing it because it's right here and why not, right? And I'm not doing anything else now. That's how you have to, in life, this is a way to make decisions always, right? To know where it's coming from. That's shaila number one. So that's the shaila legabe shower. I think in the wintertime, most of you, you know, will admit that it's not usually that matzav. Especially you showered, you know, 2 hours ago right before Shabbos, right? Mm-hmm, right? And, oh, I'm sorry. You're supposed to shower before Shabbos, right? What does that mean? That means that sometimes you're going away on Friday and you say, well, you know, you know, I'm very busy Friday, so I'll shower the night before, right? You know. Right, you know, it's also very busy. I'll put tefillin on Thursday twice. You know. Shower for Shabbos. You're supposed to shower for Shabbos. Somehow they all ask me to shayla on showering Friday night, right? But okay. So that's shayla number one. Shayla number two.
Do you
shower
shabbos?
Yes. Deodorant. What? Halachically, Mishnah Berurah brings down.
That's for
Rosh Hashanah. Reish Samech. Yeah, you're supposed to get ready for Shabbos. You're supposed to shower for Shabbos, and you're supposed to use hot water. Mishnah Berurah says, no games, right? So the next time there's somebody taking a little bit too long in the shower, right, you know, so you're taking all that water, I don't know how it works here. They run out of hot water over here? Or?
Yeah.
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you were the mikvah. We spoke about you already. Sorry, you're going to the wrong mikvah. So, suggest very strongly that it comes out. Oh, wait, you have that thing that you can, what's it called? No? You get it out of the shower. You managed to get an entire room out. Let's go by. We'll explain it to you after. Don't. The that which they don't shower for 3 days in a row, I can explain to you right now. Sorry?
What's the shot that
the
minute goes
to chumra
and drop on it?
See, what's the shot that the minute goes to chumra? What do you mean the minute goes to chumra? The minute shouldn't go to chumra. We're trying to figure out if there is a minute, right? There's some cipher in one place writes that he says a gvaldi kazak. Some cipher says he's talking about chal v'israel, which will be some other controversial topic we'll talk about at a different time. But some cipher says an interesting thing. He says, I think it was in Siddur Kuf Zayin, he says that chal v'israel, if it's like Rashi. Whatever the Gemara, whatever that holds that Chal V'Yisrael, the Indian of eating Chal V'Yisrael is an Indian Drabanan, it's an Issa Drabanan. So he says, so then Imkain, if you have a Shaila, you can say Safak Drabanan the Kula. Right? But Chasam Sefer says, but now, let's say, Mitzad the Gemara, it would be Mutter. Right? I mean, I'm not going to get controversial, but he's talking about what Rav Moshe is talking about, right? That if you'd have a situation of where we know for sure that the milk is 100% that they didn't put in the chazer milk, what is called in America chol stam, right? The point, right? So Rav Moshe says that Rav Moshe proves it's mutter. Okay, right? The Chasam Sefer is talking about the same type of a case, and the Chasam Sefer says that Pum Faker, he says, it's true, even if I would agree it's mutter. So then all you did was you showed me if it would be a Shiloh of Drabban and I'd be able to be Mekel, right? But now it's Mutter. If I agree with Rav Moshe and I say it's Mutter, but the Minig until the time the Chasam Sefer is talking about, the Minig until the Chasam Sefer and whatever was that they didn't eat it, this type of Chalav, even though it's Mutter, so then the Chasam Sefer says, so then that, now that's a Minig. Because until now it was a Shiloh of Isser. So Isser, the Pshat is that fine. So Isser, we could say, Safek Drabban and Lekula, right? But now that it's not an Isser, it's a Minig, he says, oh, that's some cipher. So now that's a minig. If it's a minig, it's a shal of deraisa. If it's a minig, it's a shal of a nether. So once it's minig, that gets a much more chabertic approach, ironically. So the cipher says it could have a din of a suffic nether. So now, if you have a shiloh, if Rav Moshe is right, let's say, right? So if you have a shiloh, but some cipher says, yeah, but the minig was, even though we didn't know that this was mutter asa, but we were machmir on it, our minig is to be machmir, so then it becomes worse. So maybe that's what the Rav Moshe is going with over here. Okay, that's a very, side to get
time. But it wasn't mutter until Rav Moshe.
Again?
It wasn't mutter.
The concept, what Rav Moshe spoke about, was a concept that was spoken about for 200 or 300 years. Rav Moshe wasn't the first person, that spoke about this concept. The concept was, if you have a makim, that there's no possibility of treifa milk coming in. That concept was discussed by the Pekadosh, by the Chum Sefer, by all the Ephraim was discussed. Rav Moshe was the first one that Kapanim applied it to the concept of the FDA. That was the only addition that Rav Moshe did. That's the good. That's shaila number one. I get one more shaila because it's already late. So we'll do one more though. But we won't do it as a riches deck. Two more? Okay, what's the purpose of the world? Okay. Now, here, this is very important. Brachas by Kiddush, Makam Suda, Geffen, Patezwa. I'm going to say this because I see it's a big mistake. Right? I'll just talk about what aspect, then you'll hold on to the paper and you'll give it back to me maybe perhaps. Yeah. Okay. I just want to talk about this because it's very important. Just basic, you go to a kiddush, right? And I'm talking about, let's say, a Shabbos morning kiddush, that type of matzah, right? So the Agav, the Mishabrua and Simon Reish Mem Tes, he's not so happy. He talks about this very big problem that they're eating grimsels. You know what grimsels are? You don't know what grimsels are. You don't know what grimsels are? Huh? And this terrible problem, they're getting filled up on grimsel. You don't know? Tell them what grimsel are. Huh? There's always one Kasish guy that right away, I have no idea what grimsel are. No. I know what kreplach are, I know what kneelach are, I know what herring is, I know what pshat is, right? I have no idea, because there's always one Kasish guy who goes, it's like a pancake, right? Always. Right? I have no idea. I don't get involved either. But the Mishabur is talking about some type of a dreadful minig that they had, that they would eat and they would fill themselves up with grimselach and kremselach and whatever. And he says that what happens is that you're over on a terrible thing. Because then you're not eating the Shabbos Suda L'Teyavin. right? You're not eating the upcoming meal, the te'avin, and that's the ikar meal, because that's where you have the challah. That's, he said, you're not doing the te'avin. So that's the stomach problem. Oh, so the talk is true. The best thing to do is wash for the, as wash. The best thing to do is, if you know, I guess you get invited to a kiddush. I mean, you might look a little bit strange, right? But you come in there and you take out, like, you know, like, you know, like challah. What are you doing?
I don't know.
I'm just here for lunch. If somebody was telling me, I was right, you don't know about this. If somebody was telling me there's something in America, right? You know, I am from the old country, Ramesai, right? And, you know, I'm from a country that I consider most of you out of towners, I think, even, right? You know, if you're within P and 21 to P and 29, if you're already in the 30s, you're, you know. But so my people tell me there's something in America now called the a groaning board kiddush. Yeah, I also was
groaning over that.
What's a groan? No, you don't, Rabbi Stryker, you're not even close. What's a groaning board kiddush? A groaning board kiddush is that the table is suffering. I see you understand. The table is suffering so much from the amount of food. Do you understand that there's like sheep in the back? Right? They're suffering so much that the table is groaning. Oi, lanu, whatever. But anyway, right, what we've come to. But that is what the Mishabura is talking about. I think that the grimzels of the time of the Mishabura. Yeah. Halavai, grimzel. Yeah, halavai. But if you get filled up at the kiddush, that, you know, the board is okay, I can't. But anyways, so that's one problem with the kiddush. Okay, but if you wash, no problemo. Right? No problem. Fine. But the ma'aseh, there's two inyanim that I want the Olam to know about. One inyan is like this. The person who makes kiddush, so for sake of, if you drink wine or grape juice, so then we hold that pater is all mashkin. Which means that if you drink, especially on kiddush, you drink, you know, let's say you're the makadish and you drink the wine, okay? So now you don't make a bracha on any of the other drinks there, not on the schnapps, not on the apple juice, not on the Coca-Cola, right? Not on the borscht, right? None of the other things, of course, right? So you don't make a bracha on any of the other drinks. Rabbi Yashiv was talking about machmir on grape juice. Yashiv got a held that grape juice doesn't pater, but it's not mamish the minigah oilam. So, I mean, it's definitely kedai, I guess, if you had wine, but it's not so much the minigah oilam. So, but that's true. This is a very, very, very important nekuda. That's true for the guy who's making kiddush. Most of the oilam here is not the guy making kiddush. Right? That's usually not the case. Right?
What happens if the guy makes whiskey?
Oh, so that doesn't pater other drinks. That paters other shackles, right? Yeah, no, vada will pater other shackles.
It works.
Right?
Not if you have wine, yeah, which is everything.
No, the nafkamina of this is very important. You drank grape juice. The guy who made the schnapps, the kiddush on the schnapps, which of course we're going to talk and fight about a different time, and that, whatever, we'll get there. That'll be next week. But if you make kiddush on schnapps, so then, you know, should I tell you what the Rav Shitzer holds? I can't hold back, I'm sorry. The Rav Shitzer says that, yeah, of course you'll let him make kiddush and schnapps, right? We'll get him Valcom, Ramadina, a different time we'll talk about this. He says, but a vada you have to have, right? Revius. You have to have Revius.
Yeah.
Right? Right? You have to have Revius, and he'll like the Chazanish. It's not a joke. Well, that's a joke, but it's not a joke. He holds you have to make kiddush on Revius. You don't have to drink Revius, but you have to drink a Maloy Lugmov of that, which a Maloy Lugmov is not one shot. Maloy Lugmov is at least two shots. I know I'm going to lose my job. This will be the last time I see you guys. Nice, thank you. All right, that's it. I'm taking out the pace. But the truth is like this. The truth is that one thing is klar. One thing is bar. Is that what you see people do? That they make schnapps, they make kiddush and schnapps. It takes like some
fumes.
What?
Fumes
a lot. He wipes it away, you know, like, that's nothing. That's obviously nothing. I'm saying, okay, but that's a different story. But let's say you make kiddush on schnapps, so then avadet paters you even on the gevilte fish, right? On the herring, because you made a bracha on shakal. But if you make the bracha on geffen, so the bayer pran geffen paters you now on the drinks, and obviously it doesn't pater you on the
herring.
Gevilte and the herring. Now, that's all for the guy making kiddush. What I really want you guys to know is very important, and I see this, there's two other cases, and the oilam makes a mistake with this. One case is that sometimes at a kiddush, you didn't get a drink. You didn't get any kiddush wine. You didn't get any, go with wine for a minute, but you didn't get any wine at all. Alright? So then, there's no shaila in the world that you make a bracha on drinks, and that's the easy case. Then there's no shaila. It's not the fact that I heard a guffin that I'm kapatered. Once I heard guffin, so now I'm patered and I know. No, then no shaila, you have to make a drink on the coke and whatever. I think the oilam knew that. I think that's more known. The middle case is the case which is the gay, all of us. The middle case is that everyone gets a little sip of the wine. right? You know, you hear by Pragafen, you come over, you get a little sip of the wine, and you had a little sip. Does the little sip patter the other drinks? That's a world war. That's a world war. And I see. No, so what's the? What do you do?
Take a piece of herring.
Well, no. I know what the eight is. I just want to tell you. I want to show you that it's a mistake, though, right? What do you guys do? Do you make a bracha now on the drink? Callus doesn't eat herring. Herring doesn't eat me. I don't eat herring, right? Like, you know, I don't eat herring, right? Shut. I think that's how it goes, right? But okay, sorry. I eat other things that you don't eat, okay? Right? No, I think you know. Right? Herring's not for me. Herring's not for everybody, right? You also don't eat herring. Right? I'm sorry. Right? Yeah, but you eat liver, right? Huh? Any liver?
Oh. As far as you're not.
Oh, Dad! No, whatever. So, me and you. Me and you, right? What do we do? You don't eat liver. You don't eat herring, right? So, you eat eggs? Are you a Jew? That's what I'm saying. So what do you do? So he's right. What you should do is you should, I'm going to talk about this one. You're going to have in every pocket a different thing. You're going to need a bisley in one pocket for all the mezainis fakes. You have to have a jelly bean in one pocket for all that. We have that thing of the matzah because of the problem that we spoke about before, right? You know, when we go to the kiddush and whatever, right? In this pocket, you have to have a picture of Rabbi Kalb. We'll talk about that. No, but it's very important to know this. It's very important to know this. The shahako that you got to get out of the bracha because this is a world war. If you have a sip of wine, does that potter other drinks? Is a tremendous machlekes. Mishabrua, just a moment. The Mishabrua doesn't know. The Mishabrua doesn't know the answer to this question. If you have a sip, does it now potter the other drinks or not? He doesn't know. In Kufayin Dalet, if he doesn't know, no one knows, right? There's no answer to this. It's a suffix. It's a big suffix. So some hold that...
Suffix brachas ha'akil.
Yeah, so some hold that it's a suffix, but Mishnah Berurah says don't get involved in that suffix. In other words,
don't drink.
That's the reason why. No, so what you have to do is you have to have a piece of herring in your pocket, right? And that's how you get out of the problem.
Why can't you just not take a sip?
Okay, Elamai, you'll say don't take the sip, right?
Wait.
Or no, just you have a revius, you're for sure popular the drinks, right? But I'm just saying what goes on in the world.
It's not that you didn't make the drop,
it's that you had a sip. Yeah, you had a sip. If you didn't have anything,
why? Just like
the guy who made the kiddush, he's okay. He's covered. The guy who listened to the kiddush and didn't have anything, he's okay. He probably has to make a bracha now on a drink, right? The guy who had a sip, so he has a major problem in the drinks. And I'm saying, it's a negeya guy like me. I go to the kiddush. That's a big shaila. It could be that the juice, once you drank the juice, so then the bracha's chal and it goes on your Coca-Cola and whatever. Maybe the sip is already enough to schlep. That's the big machlekes. It's a big fight. It's a massive fight. No, that's the fight. Mishabru brings two tzadim. Okay, many achrayim hold that kiddush since it's chashiv, so that's like you had a whole shear and whatever, right? Even a sip. So he asks, so then just don't have the sip. But the mice is the kasha bracha. Kosher bracha is a gavaldik gazach. It's a very good, you know. So you have to, if you're going to have that sip, you must make sure that if you're going to have a drink after, that you have herring, right? Or you have a jelly bean, right? Or any of the other basic foods, like, you know, like you'll have chicken with you or something, right? A mushroom, okay? Carry on the mushroom with you.
Yeah, but what if it's scotch?
Scotch for sure is okay. Scotch poppers. I mean, I never said that. They're going to say, what about me? What did you hear in the shiur today? We heard that scotch, you're allowed to make l'chatchila and scotch, and you're supposed to drink a lot of it. Things I find out.
You said it potters all shahakol. So if you just have the little sip, is that you can still have that?
No, that's for sure, because that's a shahakol. The shahakol slaps. Here, the question is that a guf? No, because here, it's not the bracha, it's the gef, it's the drinking, it's the drink that slaps. So the question is, how much drink do I need to schlep? It's not the guffin. I make a guffin on a Coca-Cola that should put you in an insane asylum on the sixth floor. Okay? It's the way it works is that if you made a bracha on a guffin and you drank the sip schleps the drink. Because he's the king of drinks. He's the dude of drinks. So he schleps the other drinks. But now the question is, people do naftachamim, you know? How much drink does he need to schlep the other drinks? That's the fight. So that you have to keep in mind. If you have a little sip, you're in this suffix. So therefore, you can't drink now unless you go and have, like, you know, like I said, gefilte or fish or whatever. I'm sorry, one there. Yeah,
by both Rory Pirguffin and Shahako,
yeah.
If someone was Makadish,
yeah. He's the actual drinking. Yeah.
Now, everybody in the room takes their mezainis and eats
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
They did not drink.
For
not
sure,
wine,
in that
not
case,
juice, not
in that case,
not,
for
not
sure,
nothing.
For sure, he makes a Coca-Cola drink.
Yes,
makes.
So it's very no gayo what he's saying because they made a kiddush on Shahako,
right?
They did not take shots.
Oh, the other guys
they
in the neighborhood.
Mazonis.
Oh,
some
sure.
guy in the crowd makes mazonis. You do have to. Kol HaDeis make
sure.
a shahako or a break or a guffin if you didn't drink anything. Just because he made a shahako.
When there's shots at the kish, it's not a problem.
But immediate.
No, they'll be drinking.
Immediately.
I have faith in my guys. I have tremendous faith in you guys. But it's true. No, the Emes says he's right. If you go and the Mekadesh makes on schnapps, right? And then you have a mezainis. I think you know this, though. If the Mekadesh makes on schnapps, and then you have a mezainis, and then you want to now have schnapps, but obviously you have to make a bracha, right? It goes like that with Geffen, too. If he made a bracha at Geffen, you have mezainis, and then it comes down the line, and it comes to you the drink, obviously you spoke in between. So in that case, you'd have to make a Geffen. I think the other one, that's a chayah. You should all have a wonderful Shabbat.
Is it from the